We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, my name is Indeed. Hi, I'm Indeed. Good to be with you on this fine day. It's, as they say in the Orient, Erection Day. Take your Viagra as we celebrate Erection Day. That's right. Hey, many schools in the area are closed. Rhode Island, I don't believe, has school because they use their schools for voting booths. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I've heard some of the schools are closed in Rhode Island. That's what I've heard. I don't know about Massachusetts. I don't think so, but some schools in the area are indeed closed so that people can vote in the schools, which I think is odd. I mean, I've gone to school all of my life except for when I got older and didn't have to anymore, and the schools were never closed on Erection Day. They were just, you know, people went into the gymnasium and voted in the gymnasium, and there were no gym classes that day. So you don't have to close the school down just because gym isn't showing up. I mean, I don't know. I don't get that. By the way, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. How you doing? This is Erection Day 2014. It's Tuesday, November 4th. And it's the day that you're supposed to vote for somebody or something or some question or some not. Ron, what is this funky little thing that you do, this show that you do? Well, let me explain to you, okay? It's a podcast, which means I have cast it upon my pod. I don't know what it means. I have no idea what a podcast means. It means that you can tune into this place that you're listening to it on, and we're on quite a few different networks. Or you can go to my, well, you're already listening to it. Why tell you how to get there? I mean, obviously you know somehow. So enjoy. The idea of this is that it's like on demand. Anytime you want to tune into this thing on your internet provider, you can listen to a brand new show every weekday. Usually by 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, your new show is posted. Sometimes it's as early as 8 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know. So that's it. And I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Those are called weekdays. On the weekends, I don't. And that's pretty much it. Sometimes we'll do the show from a restaurant or some public area. Usually I do it from my home studio. Sometimes I'll have guests on. I have regulars that show up that give me a little bit of tood. Tori Wainwright, an excellent co-host. She's wonderful. And she's appears just about every week. And sometimes Mark Schepeta, he's a private investigator in the area. He's very animated. He's like a cartoon character. He's around a lot. Attorney David Casella shows up every once in a while so we can get a little bit of a legal twist on things. He's also very opinionated. We are polar opposites politically. So there are, you know, there are challenges, and sometimes I'll just sit here for half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, depending on how I feel. That's the great thing about the podcast thing. And it's commercial free, no commercials, no one's trying to sell you anything. It's just you and me, baby, and I'll just sit here and rattle. I don't necessarily have any preparation whatsoever. This is my brain, on drugs, and you just, you know, whatever. There is no way to contact me. I don't take phone calls. Sometimes I will talk to guests from all across the country who have something to say, sometimes celebrities, and we just have a good time. Sometimes it's serious. Usually it's not. I've been a humorist all my life. So I tend to look at life itself and look at the funny twist of things. I believe that you've got to laugh every day. I hope I supply a couple of laughs to you on a daily basis. Because you have to laugh. You have to laugh at this. You can't take it seriously. Otherwise, you'll have a puss on your face and you'll look horrible. And I tell you the story about that. So this is Stream of Consciousness Radio. My brain just goes certain places and I just go there. And that's just the way this works. I was sitting in a gathering place. I guess you call it a bar. I don't know. I mean, there's a gathering place. There's a lot of people and they serve alcohol and food. And I guess it's a bar. And the only reason I go to a bar is to do research for my book, which I've been doing for all of my life. And I've yet to write it. But I say I'm doing research for it to give myself an excuse. Places that I shouldn't be or things I shouldn't be doing, I say, well, I'm writing a book about it, so I'm doing research. No one buys that story. I don't buy that story. Other people don't buy that story. But somehow, everything has a little bit of merit, so it's worth saying. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and this person comes up to me and says, it's a female, and says to me, you're intimidating. I said, excuse me? I didn't know this person. I said, excuse me? I said, yeah, you're intimidating. I said, why? Because I'm tall? She says, no. I say, why? Because I sit here like that? She says, no. I said, well, why am I intimidating? Because I'm large. I mean, I'm not fat, but I'm large. She says, no. So why am I intimidating? She says, because you don't smile. I think she's trying to pick me up. I think these are like, pickup lines or something. And I said, don't smile. She says, yeah, well, you're kind of like just sitting here and you look lonely and you're not smiling. And my obvious response was, what am I supposed to look like? Am I supposed to sit here alone with a big grin on my face like I'm moronic or something? Like I'm mentally challenged? I just sit at the bar and I smile at things? I mean, is that what you expect me to do? She says, yes. I said, I don't understand that. If I'm sitting alone and no one's making me laugh, why should I be smiling? I would look like there's something wrong with me. She says, no, you wouldn't. She says, you would look good. I said, hey, I don't know you. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. You may be a hole in the wall. I don't know. I said, take a look at the other people sitting at the bar. She looks at other people sitting at the bar. I said, none of them are smiling. She says, yeah, they're smiling a little bit. I mean, that was the other conversation. I just like, get out of here. Go somewhere. Go be a hole in the wall. See that wall over there? Put your, make a hole out of it, will you? Annoying. It's annoying. So I realize, because that's been said to me a number of times, I am intimidating. When I walk down the street, people pretty much cross the street and walk on the other side. I'm intimidating. If I'm not smiling and looking warm and fuzzy, people like get in their cars and drive away very quickly. I'm intimidating. And I've been told when I walk down the street with other tall people, it's like evacuation time. Like watch out, they're going to kill everybody. I'm a real sweetheart. Just because. Wow, what is that about? I'll say. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't understand people. I never did. I don't think I was placed on the planet to understand people. When I was growing up, I thought it was my job to understand people. I did. I thought, oh, there's a person over there. I must somehow accept them into my life. And I was told when I was younger as well that everybody is good until they prove themselves otherwise. And I thought, well, that's a really dandy way of looking at life. That sounds wonderful. Everybody is good until they prove themselves otherwise. Everybody placed on this planet is a really good person unless they're somehow magically turned into evil. And I thought, oh, okay. And then every year that I got older, I started realizing that is the biggest bunch of BS that anybody's ever handed me in my entire lifetime. Everybody is good by nature. And I thought, okay, I think I'm reading a passage from the Bible or something, because that's not what I'm finding. I'm finding that everybody is not good, that everybody has their own agenda. And not that's bad, but everybody on the earth is like taking care of themselves and their families. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But now, in my older years, because I am now 27, I know, it is so funny. 28, sorry. Or maybe 29. Or I'm lying, I'm 30. Or 31. So anyway, so 32. So, but I've learned that as I get older, that it's the opposite, that everybody is to be mistrusted until they earn my trust. You must earn it through a number of physical feats. You must lift a car in your underpants. That is the first physical feat that you must achieve in order to gain my trust. And also, you must save my life somehow. I don't care how. Whether I'm Jeopardy or not, you must show that you are willing to save my life. And take a bullet for me. You must also take a bullet for me. So that's how you earn my trust. That's as simple as that. Simple as that. Honesty is the best policy, but not the one that I live by. So whatever. But you start to learn about human beings, and sometimes that's the way it is. All right, kids, thank you very much for listening. Have yourselves a wonderful day. But I'm not finished yet. I've got more stuff. So hold on. Take it easy. Take it easy. To sit back. Cut it out. Stop it. Stop it. You make me nervous.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Here's the stupidest commercial in the world. I play it every once in a while because I went to the trouble of recording it, and I'm going to get plenty of use out of it. It's a place called Boston Burger. I think it's a little bit north of Boston. It's the greasiest, most disgusting burger you've ever seen in your life. There's a picture of it in the television commercial, and it is oozing pus, which I think is supposed to be some type of sauce. And there are onions, and there are actually French fries on the burger, inside the burger, and lettuce. But I don't know, lettuce is there just for a little greenery. It stands about 5 feet tall. And it is oozing grease and slime and spit, and it's called Boston Burger, and I'm sorry, that's my opinion. You can sue me if you want to, but I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And in the commercial, they have a scantily clad, attractive sexual females, and they intimidate you to eat this stuff that is going to clog your arteries immediately upon contact. And this is the way that they sell their burger.
Honey barbecue sauce, along with boneless wings, house made chips, and Boston's best sweet potato fries.
Guys, it's time to man up, grow a pair, and eat what you want to eat.
The Boston Burger Company, Davis Square, Somerville, and Boylston Street, Boston.
Make your... Yeah. Yeah, attractive girls telling me if I don't eat this cholesterol, artery-clogging piece of crap, then I need to grow a pair. A pair. I need to grow. In other words, I have no balls because I am not willing to kill myself. And I am told this by oversexed assholes. So, yeah, give me that burger, man. Yeah. Because I'm a wuss because I don't want to kill myself. Seriously. So I've had about 20 burgers and I'm kidding. Today, today is Erection Day. It is a day that you're supposed to go to the polls, wherever they are, and vote on various things. In a lot of states, it's not a presidential election, so it's usually not a gigantic turnout, but there is a gubernatorial election, and I don't know where the hell gubernatorial is derived from a governor's race. I mean, it's a governor's race, but somehow they're goobers. I don't know. When I think of goober, I think of that putz on the Andy Griffith show, you know, the Andy of Mayberry show. I don't know. Anyway, the mayorships are up, and not mayorships, I'm sorry, governorship in the state of Massachusetts. There's a mayorship going on in Rhode Island and a governorship in Rhode Island as well. I mean, they're just all like, they're changing everything there. I think you're supposed to also change the batteries in your smoke detectors down in Rhode Island as well, because whenever you change governors and mayors, you're supposed to change your batteries and turn your clocks back. So in Massachusetts, you got a governor's race there. The former Attorney General Martha Coakley is running for governor, and also Charlie Baker, who is, I don't know what he is, he's not anything. He worked for Harvard Pilgrim, fired everybody in order to keep the company alive, and contracted a very large salary. And I don't have anything against somebody being in a major company like that and getting a large salary, because that's what you do and that's what we all want to do. So I can't fault him for that. And of course, you can twist things around, whether you believe it or not, and say, oh, he fired a lot of people and he made a fortune. Yeah, but I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? I mean, that's a job, and you do have to cut jobs if companies are going under. So, I mean, I can't really blame him for that. He calls himself a Republican, yet he says he's not. And the only thing that I can find really against him is the fact that he uses the finances of the Republican Party in order to promote his candidacy. But he claims he's not Republican. So he uses their finances, runs under their party, but claims he's not. It seems like everybody's running from their parties these days. Nobody wants any party affiliation because they know the public is just so sick of it. So I got this Charlie Baker guy. Here's what I don't mind about Charlie Baker, even though I'm not going to vote for him. But here's what I don't mind about him. I've seen a lot of the commercials on television, heard a lot of the radio commercials, and there's one thing I respect about him. I don't believe that he, as Charlie Baker, ever did a political campaign commercial and slammed his opponent. I don't think he ever has. He talks about what he is, what he would do, how he feels about things, and he never mentions his opponent, Martha Coakley. And I find that to be rather high horse. I like that a lot. Because it's not this negative campaign crap that I think most of America is just totally sick of. Martha Coakley doesn't do it either. She doesn't, in none of her commercials, does she say Charlie Baker is an asshole. Now, not to say that there aren't commercials that do slam the parties, but they are paid for by the political parties, and they have a right to run their own commercials as well. But Charlie Baker in a commercial will never slam the opposition, and Martha Coakley in her appearances never slam him. So I find that to be very, very cool. As opposed to New Hampshire, where the commercials are seething. They are nasty. Scott Brown is the devil reincarnated, and I think he really is, but that's the way he's painted. And they take Jean Shaheen and call her the Jean Shaheen machine, and they slam her because she votes along the same party lines as Nancy Pelosi and President Obama. Here's the problem that I have with Scott Brown running in New Hampshire for Senate, Congress, whatever. This man will look at the camera and just like slam his opponent, slam them. He will slam the president. He is trying to gain a seat by knocking everybody else down out of it, and spends very little time, if any, talking about himself. I have no idea who this clown is, this Scott Brown guy. He's a clown. He's a guy, as I said yesterday on the podcast, who failed in Massachusetts to have any political ground, ran a very intense, very expensive campaign, and lost. And he has been stifled in Massachusetts. So what does he do? He says, well, I want to get into Congress somehow. So I'll move to New Hampshire and I'll run in New Hampshire. And he's using New Hampshire. He's having an affair with New Hampshire and using them in bed. So he can gain his agenda. He's using you, New Hampshireites, whatever you call yourselves. He's a despicable character. He has no character. He slams everything around him in order to make himself look better. And I despise his candidacy in Massachusetts, where the only reason that anybody voted for him, in my estimation, if you weren't Republican, was that he apparently drove a pickup truck or some kind of sports utility vehicle and pictured himself to be just like you and me. I don't drive a pickup truck. I don't have a sports vehicle. So, like, you missed me entirely, babe. Putting on a hunty jacket doesn't make me vote for you. As a matter of fact, it makes me not vote for you. So that was his gimmick. That was his thing. Like, I am just like you and me. You're not like you and me because I'm not the devil reincarnated. At least I didn't get a letter in the mail saying that I was. So Scott Brown out of town. And he is out of town. He's in New Hampshire. Let's see how smart those people are. They are more conservative, more Republican than Massachusetts. And Scott knows that. And he figures it's close enough. I'll just move there. I'll get a house. And then no one will know. And I'll slip it by them. And then I'll start shoving people down, pushing people down. And then I'll win. Good luck, Scott. Let's see where you go with that. I despise that gentleman. I really do. And I used to think he had such a wonderful family. He would pose in front of the camera in Massachusetts, you know, get votes and show what a wonderful family he was. And his daughter was on American Idol. And, you know, now let's whore out our family. Why don't we do that now? We'll whore out the family and stand in front of a pickup truck. Hey, that's got to work, huh? I'm sorry. That's the way I feel. I mean, most of you feel differently. A lot of you feel differently. Some of you do. Maybe nobody does. I don't really know. I don't care. I'm just expressing myself. That's all. Don't do anything I do. Go your own way. I'm just talking about myself. That's all. You can get a microphone and do this thing too if you wanted to. I mean, I wouldn't listen to you, but whatever the case may be, fine. I don't know. Whatever. Oh, whatever. That's my favorite word once again, and it worked right there. That's what I love. I don't care. Whatever. I don't care. I don't care. I'm in the mood for Chinese food. Okay, that was racist, huh? So you're going to go to the polls today. Now, not only are you going to be voting for various people, here's something very odd, and I don't understand this at all. Tom Kennedy, who hosted a couple of game shows, but this is a different Tom Kennedy. This is, he's a state senator. He's not running against anybody. Nobody's running against him. Unless there's like 10 million write-in votes. I mean, the guy's going to win. To my knowledge, and I've checked this out, and unless my Google is all screwed up, no one's running against him. Yet he's got lawn signs out there. What the hell are you doing? Why are you putting lawn signs out? If you're the only person on the ballot and somebody has to write somebody in order to challenge you, I mean, what is that about? Claire Cronin does the same thing. She's a state rep, represents parts of Brockton and Easton and stuff like that. Nice woman. I don't know how effective she is because she never talks to anybody that I know of. We had terrible trouble getting her to do political debates when she was running the first time. Terrible trouble to get her there. She had excuses for everything. I mean, she's a fine person. She does, I guess, a fine job, but no one knows. I don't know. I have no idea. And I invited her on my radio show, my radio television show in Easton, and since she represents the area, and she said, yes, I'd love to do it. Give me a call. Let me know what you want to talk about. It's a yes. And then with 2-3 days before the tape date, she says, oh, I'm really busy now. I mean, like, seriously, man, it's not the first time. Anyway, she's not running against anybody, and yet she's got lawn signs out. So, like, I don't really get that. I'm not really, it's like, It's kind of like a waste of time. I don't understand. Anyway, so you're going to go to the polls today, and if you're a registered voter, you really must go. You don't have to vote for everybody or everything. I don't think you're allowed to. But I mean, what I'm saying is, you don't have to vote in every category. If you're not familiar with the candidates, then don't do it. Don't cast your vote. I've said this so many times before, and I'm serious about it, and I am going to tell you what to do. Don't cast your vote based on whether it's a male or female, or Irish or not Irish. If there's an O apostrophe in the last name, then I'll vote for them because they're Irish. I mean, don't do that. Again, the devil could be Irish. I don't know. I mean, the devil sometimes portrays various characters in order to get you to vote for him or her. So don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, would you have voted for Hitler because, hey, it begins with an H. I love people. I love names that begin with an H. I'm going to vote for Hitler because it begins with an H. Sounds like a hit. Sounds like that's a real hit. So, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hitler. See, that would be awful. That would be terrible. So don't do that. Just don't do that. There are four questions on the Massachusetts ballot. Let's go over them. Well, everybody knows the first four. And I don't even want to go over because I've done so many shows about this. I'm really sick of it. And I'm voting kind of differently than other people that I know on this kind of thing. Bottle bill? No, don't extend it. Cut it out. Just cut it out. Stop making me spend money for things. And I don't care about anything else other than the fact that if I have to do a 5-cent deposit on water bottles, I don't think it stops anybody from throwing the stuff out the window. I really don't. There are beer bottles and beer cans all over the place, and yet there's been 5 cents on that thing for the longest time. So cut it out. I mean, no one's going to like open up the window. Some schmuck is going to open up the window of the car and go, I'm going to throw this out the window. Oh, wait a minute. I can get 5 cents for this. They don't give a crap. They're drunk. They don't care. And I take all my bottles and I put them in the recycle bin and the trash people pick them up. I'm sorry, the trash people, I did it again. I'm sorry, the sanitation engineers pick them up. I mean, I'm not getting my money back ever, so it's just another tax. So cut it out. Stop. It doesn't work anymore. It's antiquated. It's over. Take your deposit things. They're brainwashing you, you know, that you're, oh, I'm going to be rich. You're not going to be rich. All you're doing is getting your money back. You're not making 5 cents when you recycle. You're getting your money back. Sucks. There's no incentive there whatsoever. So I'm not voting for that. I'm not voting for extending the bottle bill. Gambling, personally, I don't like gambling. I hate it. I think it's another vice. I'm mad that the government, that the state gets involved in gambling by having a lottery at all. The state is engaging in taking money from people when they know that the chances of their winning are nil. And then they tempt their own citizens by saying, you can't win if you don't play. What? Seriously, man? You can't get drunk if you don't drink. This is the government telling me this? Seriously? Same government that said in World War II, smoke cigarettes, they'll make you feel better. Yeah. Knew how that ended up. I don't believe the government should be involved in scamming money from its own citizens, whether they have a right to be scammed or not. And I also don't believe that the state should be involved in gambling. And if casinos are going to be built, the state should get money off of it, yeah. But for the state to start licensing these things and saying there will be one casino in each area. Yeah, they're keeping a cap on it, but I don't think you should even be in the business. I think gambling's a horrible thing. I think it's a stupid thing. Gambling is only for people with a lot of money, yet most people who don't have money gamble because it's the only way that they're going to make money because they're so down and out. And you can do what you want. You can destroy yourself. You can destroy your family financially. I really don't give a crap. That's America. You have a right to do that. I personally don't like gambling. I don't think it's fun. I think it's weird. So I personally will vote to stop gambling. And I will vote to change the law. The law says that we will license casinos. We will have gambling in Massachusetts. And I will vote to change that. It's a confusing law. Read that question 3 very carefully because the yes and the no are very confusing. And that's just some of the way I'm voting. Yes, I do believe that companies of larger size should be giving sick pay, and the employees, if they don't use their sick time and are working every day, should be rewarded somewhat. Yes, I do. I believe it's up to the company where they want to do it or not. However, I do acknowledge that the United States is far behind in benefits compared to the rest of the world, where people get a month off from work, a month vacation time normally, and they get maternity leave, and they get all kinds of benefits. They get that sick bonus time and all that kind of crap. The United States is very behind in that. So I do believe in that, yes. Heebie-deebie-deebie-doo. There are other questions. No one really knows until they're going to get to the polls. There's a question 5. Should Radio Shack be allowed to offer warranties on batteries? I mean, I'm saying no. I don't think they should. That's question 5. Question 6 is, should kids be allowed to swim half an hour after eating dinner? I'm saying I think that's okay. I think that's a wives' tale. And I don't think that's a big deal. That's question 6. Question 7 has to do with morality, in a sense. Should men open the door for women anymore, or is that just passé? I'm voting no. I'm voting no. I think you should be opening the door for women, and I think women should be opening the door for men, but that doesn't preclude men from opening the door for women. I mean, if you're going to fight who's going to open the door, then so be it. But I'm not changing that. I'm not changing that. That's a valid question, and I'm glad that's on the ballot because I don't think that should be changed whatsoever. And there are many other questions. There's like a couple of hundred questions on the ballot. It's going to take you a long time. It's going to be like an SAT test or something here, like an MCAS, like a pap smear. It's going to be like a urine test. A lot of questions on the ballot. Biggest question on the ballot as far as I'm concerned, and I think this is very, very important. When you go to a supermarket, should the person behind the register ask you if you want paper or plastic? I think that is a personal question. One that invades my privacy. It's my business whether I prefer paper or plastic. It's not their business. That is my belief system. And for some, I have to say it, for some dim-witted schmuck standing at a cash register to ask me my preference in carrying food out to my car? How dare you? How dare you? And that's the way that I respond when I go to a supermarket. Is it paper or plastic? I say, well, how dare you ask me that? Where's your manager? My God. Paper or plastic. That's my business. And I'll tell you something, young man. It may be paper, may be plastic, but you're never going to know. Well, sir, how do you want to carry your groceries out to the car? I'll deal with that. You can put it in plastic if you want, but I might change to paper. I do that because it is such a personal question. I will do that. I'll say, make it plastic. And then when they're halfway down, I go, no, change it. Take it all out and make it paper. All right, sir. Fine. And then they start reloading the groceries into the paper bags. Like, oh, wait a minute. I meant plastic. Oh, they start to get pissed for some reason. And then I say, well, that's your fault. Because you were so nosy. And you ask me personal questions like that. Paper or plastic. None of your damn business. Do I ask you questions like that, grocery store clerk? Do you have sex doggy style? It's none of my business. Why are you asking me about paper and plastic? Seriously, man. Get a life. Pompous little crap head. Paper or plastic. Ha!
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
My baby. Happy Erection Day to you. Happy, happy, happy. Question number 27 on the ballot today when you walk into the voting booth is something that's very near and dear to me. And it's very, very important. It's a life-saving question. Do you believe that in the state of Massachusetts that one should be allowed to wear, this is so awful, allowed to wear pajama pants in public? I'm voting no. I am voting no. Unfortunately, about 10 years ago, there was a ballot question about whether fat women should be allowed to wear spandex, and I said no, and apparently that didn't go through because I see a lot of them still doing that, and I campaigned heavily against that, heavily. I feel the same way about wearing pajama pants out in public when you go to supermarkets and convenience stores. Donut shops, people wearing pajama pants. It's disgusting. It's just, I mean, they just have no self-worth whatsoever. But also, if you're a guy, your penis sticks out by mistake. And I don't think that's right. I just don't think that's right. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I mean, not me that's sticking out of the pajama pants. I don't wear pajama pants out of my house. My God. My God. So that's question 27 on the ballot. And I'm urging you to vote against pajama pants out in public, but it's worded kind of weird. It says, if one were to wear pajama pants out in public, should it be repealed as a pajama pants law? And, well, repealed? I didn't know there was a law. It's just very confusing. Just very confusing. So read that one very, very carefully. But my God, please... however it's worded, don't allow people to wear pajama pants in public. It's just awful. Oh, my God. And again, I don't know where that spandex bill went. I lost on that one, too. Question number 39 is a very interesting question on the ballot as well. Here's question 39. I have to read it because it is so confusing. Let me get it out. Okay. If there's a train leaving the station in New York with 10 people on it, and it stops in Virginia and lets 4 people out and 2 people on, and then stops in Charlotte, North Carolina, lets 1 person off and 7 people on, and then stops in Tallahassee, Florida, lets 6 people on and 23 people off, how many stops did the bus make? This is a very difficult question, and and also a very ethical one. I wrestled with it for a long time, and I'm not going to tell you what my answer is because I don't want you to copy, but that is a very intense ballot question, and I don't know what committee or what lobby group put that on the ballot, but it is very apropos in today's society. So be very cognizant of that question. I believe it's question 29. I don't really remember the number because I don't recall, but a very important question on the ballot. It may take you some time to answer it, and you might have to bring a calculator in with you or just read it again over and over. But very effective, I have found. Very, very effective. Ladies and gentlemen, we're reaching the end of our haul today. I will be back tomorrow on Wednesday. I'll be broadcasting live from Charlie's Restaurant. Mark Schipetta will be my guest. The podcast will be posted a little bit later tomorrow, like probably not till about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. So just letting you know that ahead of time, because we're doing kind of a later broadcast at about 9:30 in the morning. If you'd like to stop by Charlie's Restaurant tomorrow, Wednesday, November 5th, help yourself. You pay for your own breakfast. I'm not paying for it, but come down, say hello, and Mr. Schipetta will be joining me, and who, I don't know, maybe somebody else. I really have no idea. And then on Thursday, the lovely and talented Tori Wainwright will be joining me doing the podcast in the morning. That will be fun and good times. And we'll take a look at the election tomorrow and talk about that and all kinds of things. And we're going to have a good time. Publishers Clearinghouse, I must say thank you for sending me paraphernalia in the mail almost every day, telling me that I've won something, when indeed, when I open up the envelope, I have won nothing at all. I have just been selected for a very special opportunity. And in checking with all of my neighbors, apparently everybody's been selected for a very special opportunity. So they've lied to me. They said, Ron, it's just you. It's not just me. And they are liars and thieves. And my God, don't believe anything they say. Just stop it. Don't be, oh my goodness, if you're going to breathe and be alive today in this day and age, you have got to be cynical. You have got to question everything. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful that in today's society and this wonderful nest of humanity that we literally can't trust the next person? And that's the way that I feel, you see. That's how I have evolved, because everybody is out to sell you something or to screw you or to scam you. Not everybody, but enough to have just killed the entire atmosphere of love and understanding between men and women. They've killed it because in all our minds, and this is so true, you must be skeptical. You must be. It's the old story. If it's too good to be true, then it is. And as Judge Judy said, that wise old sage, don't pee on my head and tell me it's raining. She's right. She's right. Go vote today. Again, vote intelligently, but go to the polls and see what you can do. And then go to the Czech Republic and see what you can do there. And pick up the check. They're not usually very heavy. And have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Take it home now.